Welcome back, finally, to the Up to the Minors podcast. I'm your host, Connor Rimson, and with me, as always, he is the Jake McCabe to my Ryan O'Reilly. It is TJ Rust, everybody.
I was curious which you were gonna pick going into this, because I knew you were gonna pick two new Leafs.
Of course,
I fucking knew it, but I did not think you were gonna go Jake McCabe. I thought maybe O'Reilly and like Shen, because Shen's back.
Yes, now, in fairness, I probably would have done that, but I made most of these notes, like, 3 weeks ago when we were going to do our podcast, I had to update it today and add in the, some of the other trades that we'll talk about later. So the only two trades that had been made at the time were the Ryan O'Reilly and Jake McCabe trades.
Fair enough. Okay, all right.
Anyway, we wanted to start our first podcast in about the entire history of time with a...
Because it's funny, I checked, it was November, I think.
I think it was later than that. It wasn't November.
Oh, it was later?
Yeah, okay. It was later than that, but it has been a very long time.
It's embarrassing. God hates us.
God doesn't
want us to do it.
Yeah.
Our schedule.
The weather.
Our periods have not sunk up recently. my girlfriend hates me.
Oh, it was November 24th. Oh, my goodness.
I know.
Wow.
I looked it up the other day.
That's awful. That is okay.
I looked it up after the snowstorm when the Wi-Fi went out. But whatever. It's, you know what? We're back.
We're here.
I'm gay. My dad hates me. Everything's back to normal.
That's good.
But I'll start with this. My gal was walking the dog the other day, or today, literally today. She texted me at work and she goes, I just saw Austin Matthews walking his dog.
Now, first of all, great work text to receive.
Fuck yeah. Because now you ever, I mean, you know this, you work with people. You don't work with animals, whatever. But like, you need something to talk about with people.
Absolutely.
I know at work it's the classic cliche. Oh, you see it's raining next weekend? Oh, yep. How about that snow? Oh, did you see that it's going to be -3 next tomorrow? And you're like, oh my God, kill me.
There's only so many times I can talk about how bad the weather is.
Fuck, exactly. Yeah. So today, it's about 8 o'clock and my gal sends me this text and I go, great, now I have a fucking... Honestly, I was actually pretty excited.
Of course.
I was like, that's so cool. And
so was he also walking his dog?
He was also walking his dog.
I thought that might be the case.
So he was also walking his dog. They crossed paths with the dogs.
Oh, wow.
And she was like, his dog... My dog, if she's going to the park, we could get fucking shot. She's going to the park. She knows the route. So nothing can distract her, not even another dog, not Austin Matthews, like, nothing could distract my dog from fucking going to the park. So I was like, oh my God, that's insane. And she was like, yeah, he was wearing a toque and I could see it was him because he had like the jawline and the mustache and the nose.
There's not a lot of people who look like Austin Matthews.
And she was like, the only thing that made me unsure was because he was wearing a toque, but she's like, the forehead would have been a dead giveaway.
Oh yeah, no doubt.
And I was like, okay, fair enough. But then she Googled his dog.
Ah, yes.
And she was like, that was the dog that was with this guy.
A good
and
call.
I was like, what are the chances? Like, come on.
Yeah, no, it was definitely him.
It was him.
There aren't people, like, he looks like, no one else really looks like
and
him.
And he's a big guy. And she was
yeah,
like,
and
fucking...
I've never actually seen a person who looks like Austin Matthews.
That's a good point.
Like, he looks completely unique. So it definitely was him.
Get that pig nose. But
yes, yeah. And no, now he dresses all weird and, you know, he's got the earrings and the haircut. No one looks like that.
No, exactly. And she was like, it's him 100%. And I was fangirling out from, you know, all the way from work. and I was like, did you talk to him? Did you? She was like, you know me. I can't. I would never bother someone.
She froze up.
Yeah. Well, she was like, I wouldn't bother someone walking their dog and I'm walking mine.
That's
true.
Yeah.
And she's like, you know, everybody's just trying to start their day. And I was like, you should have offered to blow him immediately.
We need him to stay in Toronto.
I was like, you know what you should have said? My boyfriend's at work right now. The apartment's empty. Let's get this thing going. And she had a funny response. She had a funny response. She loves John Tavares. And she's like, no, I wanted to be like, hey, do you know John Tavares?
Can you introduce us?
Yeah. She's like,
tell him my apartment's empty.
Yeah, exactly. So she had a good one about that. But I mean,
oh, that's funny.
I live in a not downtown, but I live, you know, in Toronto.
Downtown-ish. Yeah.
Downtown-ish. Yorkville is right near here. So I consider
it downtown.
Right. No, of course. But like, I figure he lives. I consider it downtown too, I guess. Not like, but like,
well, what I've walking distance, obviously.
Yeah, like she's like, he probably has some condo in Yorkville, which is like the fanciest place in Toronto.
Yeah. I mean, he's not going to drive his dog across town to take it for a walk, right? So you have to assume that he's.
But I always figure these guys live near the arena. Am I crazy to think that?
I mean, like, it's not that big of a city, right? Like,
no, you're right.
I mean, like that. I don't know. I kind of assume that they try to, but like they don't necessarily.
They don't have to.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair. But yeah, crazy start to the day. I was excited.
That's very cool.
I told everybody at work. They were like, "That's great." Get back to work. That's an exciting
story.
Get back to work, you fucking dog. It's. I mean, sorry, you'll set it up. Know. There's lots has happened.
Let's talk about some of the new members of the Toronto Maple Leafs who have recently been added, who will probably be seen around Toronto walking their dogs.
That's such a good point.
Know, all NHL players own dogs.
That's a what is with that?
No idea. It's the same as they all have blonde wives. They're all just one person that we made a bunch of, and here we are.
The blonde wives is always true. The dog thing, because she was...
The dog thing is also very true.
Well, we discussed that. I mean, again, we're going off on a bit of a tangent, but we discussed that. We're like, he's gone a lot.
Yeah.
And I think Matthews is single.
He definitely is, yeah.
So, I mean, like...
Because if he's not, he's very, very careful, I'd say.
Sure. Right. You don't see any gals around, like...
Yeah. He brings his sisters and his mom to stuff. He doesn't bring dates. He
wouldn't.
I'd like to bring his sisters on a date. Right,
exactly.
Also his mom.
His mom's a piece. Let's just be honest. That's good for him. Fuck. I wish my mom was a piece. She's not. But I mean, they all like we were talking about it. We're like, what does he do with the dog when he, like, I'm sure I get it. I get that. But like the dog, she was like, the dog seems so well behaved with him.
Yeah.
So that probably means like they have like some Caesar Milan type style guy going over there when he's on the road.
Yeah.
Like,
or doesn't his family live here now?
Oh, I don't know about that.
Am I wrong?
Or, I mean, maybe.
He might just have it. Yeah, his sister or something.
Fair enough. But I just thought it was interesting. Not
or
odd,
maybe like one of the guys, right? Like a lot of the other guys have wives and dogs, so maybe he leaves his dog with like.
Oh,
Marner's fiance or something, or like JT's wife, or
what's
you know,
who's Riley dating?
Tessa.
Tessa. Yes. What's her last name?
Virtue.
Right. The skater. The figure skater. Good for him.
God bless Mo.
Good for Mo. All right.
Let's talk about some of these trades here. Let's do the best one first.
Okay. Yes. And again, Ramsden has set this thing up and he's probably got ways to do it. I want to talk to you about where you were because we've seen each other before the trade. We haven't seen each other since, right?
That's right. We haven't.
So, I mean, that one was mind blowing.
I was so excited. I'm still so excited.
Well, he broke his finger, but
I know, but. Still very excited.
All right, so walk me through it. What happened? Where were you? What was the trade? Who were you?
Where
talking
was I?
To?
I don't remember where I was. Do you remember where you were? This was like the only one I remember where I was when we got John Tavares.
Well, that was because we were together.
Yes, because we got John Tavares.
And we got John Tavares. I don't know. It was a Friday night.
Yes.
At like 10:30.
Oh, now I remember where I was. I was at Clay's.
You were at Clay's. Okay.
I was at Clay's and I checked my phone and I did a huge, like, gigantic fist pump. And he was like, "What happened?" And I was like, "The Leafs got Ryan O'Reilly." And he was like, "How good is Ryan O'Reilly?" And I talked about all the things that we're going to talk about in the next 5 or 10 minutes.
Yeah, he was
like, that's awesome.
Right. Okay. That's pretty good.
Yeah. It was all right. And I had, you know, a couple pops in me.
But that's the thing is this trade happened when I think everybody was a little bit fucked up.
That's right.
Like, it's a Friday.
Were you at the Salsa Club? Is that where you were?
I was at the Salsa Lounge.
That's right. That's right.
You messaged me. Salsa Lounge. Well, I was at my girlfriend's coworker's birthday. We went for dinner, whatever. Everybody's like, why is your boyfriend so awkward? I'm like, I just don't like any of you.
Yep.
She's at yoga right now, so she can't hear this. but, you know, and then they're like, let's go dancing. And I'm like, all right, let's go dancing. And we go dancing at this Salsa Lounge.
And that's pretty crazy.
It's always crazy. This place is always crazy. And you know what? It feels like a club for adults.
Yeah, okay. But yeah, it's a club. I kind of got that vibe.
It's a club
for... I mean, clubs, by definition, are clubs for adults. But I also get what you mean.
You know what I mean. It's like, it's not like you have to be 21 to feel comfortable.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, everybody there, they're probably...
You're probably a little young.
Yeah, like everybody's there, probably in their 30s. They got great jobs. Like, you know, booze is flying, money's flying. Like, there's no, it's not like $2 shots kind of thing.
Yeah.
And like, it's kind of like there's a live band, which is kind of nice. It's
I don't know
great.
What club you went to that had $2 shots, but I'd like the name of it.
Bar 244. Classic. You know, we're dancing, and I Snapchatted my buddy Zach, video. I think I sent you the same one.
Yeah.
And then he just wrote back to me, bro, all caps, exclamation points. And I kind of wrote back like, what? Are you like upset that like...
are you here?
Like, yeah. Yeah. That's honestly, I was like, are you like next to me? Like, what's going on? And then he goes, what a trade.
Yeah.
And I fucking ditch Snapchat and I look. And, you know, everybody's dancing or coworkers are all having fun. My lady's having fun. And I just stop. I just stop in the middle of... I'm wearing a suit. I'm wearing a fucking suit. I'm stop in the middle of the dance floor. And I'm just staring down at my phone. People are, like, bumping into me. They're salsa dancing, you know. Like, somebody grabbed my ass. My girlfriend tried to grab my hand. I swatted away. I was like...
No. let me read this.
I was like, what the fuck? And she was like, what's wrong? Like... Is somebody dead? Like, who got hurt? And I was like, the Leafs made a huge trade. She's like, you got to be fucking kidding me. it was awesome. And I was so excited. And I think the booze, I think Kyle Dubas isn't an idiot.
Yeah, he wanted the people partying.
I think he knew people were going to be boozed up, happy it's a Friday.
Yeah.
What better trade? Nobody's going to be happier.
Dude, they dropped late. Like, not like super late. Like, I'm surprised you were already at like your nightclub portion of the night because we hadn't even like left yet.
Well, we're old.
Yeah, that's true. But it was kind of late. It was like 9 o'clock.
But I think honestly, by the time I saw it, I think it was like 10.
I think it happened before that. But yeah.
No, that's fair. That's fair. But once it started trickling in, because like we went to dinner and
yeah,
like,
exactly. You weren't on your phone.
No, exactly. Yeah. But like before you and like who's not happy on a Friday night?
Exactly.
Like most Leaf fans are fucking booze bags, so he knows they're going to be happy to be a couple. Right? Oh fuck yeah!
So he's already broken his finger.
I know. I need a drip. Fuck! I know. He's already broken his finger. That's such a good point. But yeah, just like such great. Great, like just so happy about it, just so excited to see awesome that trade talking. Go through.
All right, so let's talk about this trade. Leafs traded a first, a second, a third, a fourth, Mikhail Abramov and Adam Gaudette for Ryan O'Reilly, who's 50% retained by both St. Louis and Minnesota, and Noah Lachari.
It's 50 and 25, isn't it?
I don't know. It comes out to 1.8. So I think it's 50 and 50.
But isn't that 100% of the contract?
No. 50% of the contract and then 50% of that 50%.
Oh.
So yeah, it's 25% of his total contract.
Okay. Fair enough. Okay. Wow. Damn. So
yeah, they're paying him $1.8 million for the year, basically, or his cap hit or whatever. And Noah Lachari. Right. Ryan O'Reilly is the 2019 Conn Smythe Trophy winner for playoff MVP. That is not very long ago. Like to just
it's not that long ago.
Just point that out.
I know we did it with Foligno, but
much better than Foligno.
No. Sorry, but it's worth noting that he was the captain.
Yes.
Like,
was he? Or was it Pietrangelo?
No, he was. No, because Pietrangelo's gone.
Pietrangelo was there when they won the cup.
No, oh, sorry. He was the captain. No, I think, okay, fair enough. He was the captain. Pietrangelo was the captain for the cup, but I think O'Reilly was the captain once Pietrangelo left.
Yes. Yeah. He was captain of the Blues this season.
Yeah.
And a couple other ones.
And the season before, I think.
Yeah.
Pietrangelo's been in Vegas for what, two?
Yeah, not a super long time.
No,
yeah.
Not super long. But like, I mean, he's an impactful player.
I mean,
way more than Foligno was.
Oh yeah, he's always been way better than Foligno at pretty much everything. Foligno was like at his peak, like a pretty good player. And Ryan O'Reilly at his peak was playoff MVP. He won the Selke.
Selke.
He has a Lady Byng trophy because Ryan O'Reilly, this is a fun piece that doesn't really matter, but it's kind of cool. He takes no penalties ever. He has on two separate occasions gone an entire season where he played all the games and took one penalty. Yeah. I mean, that's just, it's pretty incredible. What?
Wow.
I know. How do you even do that? Especially playing like hard defensive matches.
Yeah, like he fucking checks.
Think about the fact that he's like the matchup guy going up against like Sid and
I figure David. I figure that weird ass stick would probably hook around someone's
game. Yeah, maybe the stick is the key. I don't know.
Maybe. But
doesn't take penalties ever. He is one of the best defensive centers in the NHL, and of our current generation of NHL players, he's probably the second best defensive center of the generation after, obviously, Patrice Bergeron. Yeah. He's one of the best face-off men in the history of the NHL.
Yep.
He, not this year, but his average, he usually scores between 20 and 30 goals and 55 and 75 points. Man. He's one of the best board battle players in the league. He wins most of them. He has one of the best takeaways in the league. He's one of the best defensive support in his end zone players in the league. And he doesn't wear a visor, which I think is cool, in spite of being incredibly unsafe.
It's pretty cool. Now, it's him and Simmons. No, Simmons.
I think Simmons wears a visor.
Yeah, okay.
He doesn't. Maybe he doesn't. He probably
doesn't. No, I don't think he doesn't. I think it's him and Simmons, and that's it.
On the Leafs, yeah. Because you have to be old enough that you came in before they made them mandatory.
Yeah.
And you have to be the kind of guy who wasn't already wearing one.
You had to be the kind of guy that was a complete lunatic.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's incredible. He's already scored a hat trick as a member of the Maple Leafs. Let's just put that out there.
I'll be honest, because he played before his hand was broken. It was 1, 2, 3.
It wasn't four, very many.
Like five games?
Too few, but yes.
Five or six games, and he had three goals.
Yeah, in one game.
In one game. And it obviously was against Buffalo. Like, it had to be.
Of course. He had 5 points, so three goals, two assists.
Right, okay, yeah.
And, yeah.
Like, it just had to be Buffalo.
Beautiful
I mean,
moment.
I also think we got him four faceoffs, because that's
part of like, it, yeah.
It was
the
a
Leafs
big
are
thing.
Already great at faceoffs, to be
Might
honest.
As well
they
be they
were already one of the best teams in the league. At it. Now they're, like, pretty much. With Matthews, Tavares, O'Reilly, and David Camp, I'm not sure we'll actually lose a faceoff the rest of the year.
Yeah. No, I mean, why not get better at something you're already really good at? But like, it was crazy to see him actually be on a line on the Leafs, like with a Tavares and a Nylander. Like,
yeah,
you're like, oh my God, we are fucking unstoppable here.
It was pretty cool. I think the best part about it is it gives you so many options, right? Because you can play him at center on a third line as like a shutdown center. You can play him as a second line center and move Tavares to the wing. And you can actually kind of make like a really strong head-to-head line with him, Tavares, and like Marner or Nylander. Doesn't really matter.
Right. No, you're right. The Marner, Tavares, O'Reilly line was the one I was thinking of.
That was really good. Yeah. But like that, if you load that up and you go like Tavares, O'Reilly, Marner, you can put that against like the Bergeron, Marchand, Pasternak line and feel pretty good about it.
And actually, like, if you start that one and win the face off and yeah. then, you know, set up and then switch it to the first line, like yeah. you feel pretty good rolling that system.
And then, like, if you play against a team who wants to spread their players out and spread their offense out, you can play them on the third line, have Tavares play center like he normally does, and yeah. just go with, like, the regular Leafs lineup, except, you know, you have Ryan O'Reilly in that spot instead of David Camp, which, like, you know, we do this is a pro David Camp podcast, but
big fan.
He's not Ryan O'Reilly.
No.
So, I mean, he's like the perfect guy to get. He's the guy I wanted. I know we didn't do a pre-trade deadline podcast, but, like, this is the guy I wanted.
Yeah, that is interesting because, like, I don't know, looking back on it when I was going through in my head with the trade deadline, I was like, we're probably not going to do anything big.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Lafferty-McCabe trade was out there.
Yeah.
And everything we have in front of us from years past shows that it's probably not going to be a big enough deal that'll make us, you know, shit our pants like we did with the O'Reilly trade. So that's why I think this one kind of shook everybody, because
yeah.
it really was out of nowhere.
It was.
You got two guys out of it, and Nola Chari, I mean, we'll talk about him too. Yeah, exactly.
Also good.
I'm loving him. So yeah,
he's fantastic.
It was kind of shocking to see it, and it really was like a pure rental. These guys probably won't be back. Maybe Achari, but I mean, it's going to be a stretch for both.
It'll be interesting. I don't know. We'll see what they can do with O'Reilly, but if they can pull it off, I mean,
but like Lafferty, McCabe both have contracts after next year. I think McCabe is like two, and the other one has like one. So it really was shocking to see them be like, and it might have everything to do with the fact that Dubas doesn't have a contract after this year.
That might be part of it.
He might have been like, fuck it.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm either going to get fired or I'm going to put this team together and go, wow, I really made a case for me to stay here.
Yeah. I feel like if he gets fired after making this team, he's going to be like, well, that was my best shot.
Well,
like, I gave it my best shot.
What else do you want me to
exactly.
do?
Exactly.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Like, I made the perfect team, and if we lost, then we lost.
I mean, I'm sorry.
All you can do. All right, let's talk about Nola Chari, or my favorite fun fact about Nola Chari is that his nickname is Cookie, because he likes to eat a shitload of Oreos before he plays hockey games.
Really?
Yeah, he said his pregame routine is he eats a bunch of Oreos and has a nap, and then he goes to the rink. There you go.
I mean, you know, the hockey players are insane.
They are. They're 11-year-olds.
Yeah, for real.
But I love him. I think he's great.
This guy's going to have a fucking heart attack in the middle of the ice. Anyway.
Who cares? He's great.
I do like him.
It's worth it.
I'm loving it. He's so good, dude. I'm loving the hits.
He's a great fourth liner. He's like a perfect fourth liner.
The follow-throughs on those hits are insane.
Yeah.
I saw, like, they played the Devils the other night, and he hit Hughes and really fucking laid into him.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, it's one of those things where it just – I don't know. I feel like I haven't seen much of that lately.
He's a great player. And when he played for Boston – he used to be such a bitch to play against, because he's actually good enough defensively that if you put him out there with like an Austin Matthews or something, he doesn't like instantly die like most fourth liners do.
No, I agree.
He could like survive those minutes, which actually like really kind of fucked us up.
Yeah.
Because like the idea was that when we got Matthews out against the fourth line, like that was when we were going to score goals. And then Nola Chari was like, nah, I'm actually pretty good.
I'll fucking
and so yeah, I mean, yeah. He's perfect for like Leaf fans who remember him from those series, because now seeing him come back around, you're like, oh sweet, we have him this time.
I'll take that deal
100%. And part of the problem last year was how bad against Tampa was how terrible whatever version of the fourth line that we threw out was. Like, we threw out about 17 different attempts at a fourth line and they were all bad. And this year our fourth line's probably better than Tampa's fourth line.
Right, yeah. No, that, I mean,
it's going to be like Camp, Aston Reese, and Achari.
Achari,
that's probably better than Perry, Maroon, and Belmar.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
especially with another year on them. Like,
oh yeah, those guys are eight. And like, I mean, maybe in terms of toughness, Tampa might have you, but I also think like that's not where like I think they can still handle themselves, but I think they'll be able to score a goal or two.
Oh yeah,
against that line.
And they're gonna like they're just gonna go out and be hell to play against.
Yeah.
Like Kampf is a not like a hitter or whatever, but he's great defensively and probably very annoying jacked. To play against. He is jacked. And
we talked
Zach about Aston Reese and Noel Achari just hit fucking everything that moves.
Yeah.
That's gonna be good. If Kampf is jacked. I could see you had more to say on that topic.
Your eyes
lit up a little bit.
Well, no, because we talked about it before. Because he posted that picture. I think
the thirst trap.
He posted a picture of himself on a fucking what do you call it? One of those lying down beds.
Yeah.
Or not beds.
Chairs.
Chairs. Thank
like
you.
Like on a beach or something.
But yeah.
Yeah. No, he's insanely jacked.
He's got a 12-pack abs.
Yeah. No, he's yoked. All right, let's do our other second big addition trade before we get to the other ones. Let's do the Jake McCabe trade. So Jake McCabe, Sam Lafferty, and 2/5 for a first, a second, Joey Anderson, and Pavel Gogolev. So Jake McCabe has 2 years left after this one, and he's 50% retained. So his contract is going to be $2
million. When I saw that it was retained, I was shocked that he still had this much time left.
Yeah, this is kind of what sold me on this trade, honestly, because
it just made sense that would do that.
And we were thinking going in, like, okay, well, how Justin Hall's contract, you're not going to be able to get a guy who's going to play that high in your lineup for the Justin Hall amount of money.
No.
And then Kyle's like, actually, I'm going to solve this before Justin Hall's even gone.
Which, I mean, you know, I don't think too many people will be upset about.
I'm just saying, like, he didn't even wait until Hall had left to replace him. He was like, I'm just going to get both for a bit.
Yeah, it's a good point.
It's a fantastic trade. Jake McCabe can play both sides. He can play left and right. He's 28. He's not old either, just kind of wild.
What is it? How old is he? Yeah, that's a good point, Axon. It's not bad.
Yeah. He's played for Chicago and Buffalo, both of whom suck. Yeah, but he's been good on those teams. So it's a little, it's an interesting concept. He hits like crazy, shot blocks like crazy, plays good defense, probably needs someone to help him move the puck.
Yeah.
Which makes him, you know, kind of a good fit for the Leafs because you could play him on the left side and have Liljegren do his passing for him. You could play him on the right side and have Riley do it for him. Like, you know, the Leafs are a team with solutions in that area. So that's okay. I don't know. I think he's a good fit. He had a great block the other night that probably saved the game.
He had a good block. I loved how he stood up for Tavares against Myers.
That's right. That was awesome too.
Like just jumped in there. No problem.
Immediately looked at his 6'7" ass and he was like, fuck it.
Yeah, but like that's, you know, you don't even, it's one of those things where it's like you don't even have to beat the guy to a pulp.
No, you don't even have to win.
You don't have to win.
Remember when Sandin got, we'll talk about my sweet boy, but remember when Sandin got beat up by that guy who weighed like 50 pounds more than him on the Islanders because the guy hit Matthews?
Yeah.
All that mattered was that he did it. It didn't actually matter that he like got pumped.
No, not one bit. So I was, I was just. It seems like it'll be a good fit, and it is interesting because you're like, okay, clearly Dubas is setting us up for the future, which I mean, he might not be a part of, but at least he's not like just doing pure rentals. He is adding to the core in the sense where he's got these guys locked up, and I mean, you're right. That defense now is it's Giordano for one more year, I think.
One more, yeah.
Liljegren for one more year after this. Riley for 8 to 12 more years. he's going to be on his second figure skating wife by the end of that contract. you know, and McCabe,
Brody has another one.
Brody, right, Brody.
Yeah.
Oh, Muzzin. Poor
Muzzin. I know, that's just sad.
That's a bummer. It's a bummer when you hear about a guy who's they're just like, he may never play again. And you're
he's
like,
such a good dude.
He just seemed like, you know what he's, and this is not going to mean anything else to anybody, but it's going to mean something to you. He reminds me of like a John Morton kind of guy, like our friend, like the big beard, clearly a bit of a wacko.
Yeah.
Probably loves heavy metal.
Yeah. Definitely get that vibe.
Yeah.
Definitely get that
vibe. So it's a bit of a bummer when you're like, everybody's saying he's never going to play again. And I hope they're wrong. I really hope they're wrong. But I don't know.
He's got to do, you know, the right thing for his life.
Right. If that's not playing hockey, he's got kids. He's got a family. No, you're right.
Got kids. He's probably got dogs. He's probably got a blonde wife.
How much you want to bet that guy's got fucking dogs? Well, you know what's funny is on the dog conversation is Campbell's got cats, right? That was his whole thing. They're like, walks because
he's
a goalie.
He's weird. See, you gotta take into account that goalies are weirdos. They don't count.
No, you're right. That's a really good point.
All right. So let's try and get this in before we have to take a break here. Sam Lafferty has one more year after this, which you already said earlier. It's at 1.15, which is a pretty great contract. He's 27 years old. He's gonna play in the bottom six. And the things I've noticed about Sam Lafferty are he plays like kind of Nolichari-ish.
Mm-hmm.
He's just really like all over the place, hitting everything, you know, active. He's also really fast.
I was just going to say, I've noticed he's fast. Yeah.
He's really got some speed.
I mean, I didn't hate that second line.
No,
I know. I know it's not
temporarily.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was going to say. Is I know it's not permanent and it shouldn't be permanent because if it was permanent, I think I'd jump off a bridge. But
I don't want to see it in Game 5 versus Tampa. But
no, I don't want to see it ever in a playoff series, ever. But, I mean, it was a nice like seat filler in the sense
he did
where
okay.
He contributed. I didn't think he looked completely out of place.
Yeah.
So, I mean, again, another nice addition to the core.
And I'll put it this way. Like, him, I think he's mostly replacing Pierre Engvall.
Yes.
We'll talk about it. I think that's the general idea.
Okay.
Is that he's the new Engvall. And the difference I've already noticed with him is he's probably a bit more of a Mikheyev than he is an Engvall.
Okay.
He has a bit more juice to him. And you know how Engvall was a good third liner, but when you tried to play him on the second line, you were like, what the fuck is this? Whereas, like, Mikheyev could kind of do both.
Yeah.
I think Lafferty can kind of do both, as we just saw. Like, I think you can bump him up to the second if you have to, and he won't suck.
Okay.
As opposed to just being like, this guy has to be in the bottom six, because, like,
no, that's a good point.
Ugly. He gets a nosebleed if you start moving him up.
Right. Okay. No, that's a good point. That's fair. Because, yeah, I didn't think he looked out of place. I guess I would, in most ideal situations, he'd be on the third line and.
Oh, for sure.
Not doing a crazy amount.
So, a first, a second. Joey Anderson, who we've seen a fair bit about. We have watched Joey Anderson.
So, that's now two firsts out. It's two firsts out.
And we'll get to 20. One. We did get one back.
No, you're right. No, I know that. But it's the 2023, and that one...
2025.
Was 2025.
Yeah.
Okay. Just, listen, I'm going to be the Leafs fan for as long as I'm alive, so I might as well start thinking about what the hell the rest of the, you know, the next couple of years is going to look like. So I'd rather get these draft picks. I know I can, you know, worry about it down the road, but I'd like to know.
Listen, this is the time. This is the time to move them out if you're going to do it.
I agree.
Gogolev was probably never going to make the Leafs, to be perfectly honest. I think like that he's just an AHLer, which is fine. Joey Anderson, I think, will probably play for the Blackhawks. Because Joey Anderson is pretty okay. Like, he's fine.
I've never really disliked him when he's played.
Yeah, he always seems fine. He doesn't seem great, but he seems fine.
He obviously wouldn't, like, at least on the Leafs, I wouldn't put him over the third line. That's where he caps.
Oh, 100%.
But
on Chicago, and not only Chicago, who already sucked, but who moved out Patrick Kane and Sam Lafferty.
And Max Domi.
And Max Domi.
You've got room to grow. You
might get some power play time.
You might be the first one, yeah.
I think he scored the other night.
Did he really?
He did, which, like, I'm not going to lie. I saw that, and I was like, oh, good for you.
That's good.
I'm happy for him.
Yeah, fuck. And we'll get there. The whole Sandin thing, everybody's like, oh, man, he's, like, lighting it up.
Yeah.
You know what? We'll talk about it after the break. But, like, I'm not going to get upset about it.
No. I liked him when he was a Leaf. I still like him now.
Yeah.
I want good things for him.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, whatever. I'm happy. I'm happy he's happy.
Yeah, well, yeah. Rams is like talking about his ex. It's
it feels that way. we have, let me see here, 1, 2, 3 more Leaf trades to go. So let's take a break and we'll run through those. And we're back. And now we have to talk about the sad trades.
Right.
Talk about the ones where people came in. Always fun. Right. Now we have to talk about the ones where people went out. Much less fun because, we traded good players. And that's that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean,
it's much less Swedish now, which is, you know, always depressing.
Yeah. No.
Much less handsome. Much less neck.
Oh, man, I do miss the neck. It was talked about when the trade deadline was coming up. It was salary has to be moved out. That was always on the table. It was it was Kerfoot. It was Hall. To some people, it was Engvall. I don't think anybody thought Sandin.
No.
He just signed the contract. He was going to be here for another 2 years, or like this year and next. So, I don't know. It didn't seem like that was the one that was going to drop, like the one chip that was going to drop. But I don't know. We knew people were going to be moved out. Engvall, I mean, you're right. I miss his face. And apparently he's, you know, quite a handsome young man and a tall drink of water. So, you know, how can I hate? But I don't know. You kind of expected him to be gone. Like, I wasn't that shocked. I was more shocked that that was the trade where they got nothing back in the sense of a player, but every other trade that they made was with nobody being taken off the roster, like the Riley and the McCabe, like the Chicago McCabe trade and Lafferty, where you're like, okay, we all came out of that and we're like,
and that's four guys coming in.
We all came out of that and we're like, the lineup's still to get, like, we haven't lost a guy. How amazing. And then, you know, I just kind of was like, I think they're going to have to move somebody out.
It's not possible. Yeah.
It's not feasible. You can't keep this going.
Mm-hmm.
So when it inevitably happened, I wasn't shocked. The Sandin one was a little bit shocked.
I was shocked and appalled. Man.
Appalled? Appalled?
It hurt my feelings. I'll be honest. Okay. I didn't love it. I'm not going to lie. I kind of saw it coming a little bit. Which is weird, but I thought it might have been an off-season thing because
you saw it coming. Why?
But part of the reason he didn't sign the contract wasn't because of the money on the table.
It was because
he wanted to play. Yes, and when Jake Muzzin got injured, that time there it was, and then people were injured the whole season.
Well, okay, sorry, because and Toronto does this, and they do it with like the way they talk about the Leafs. Everybody came out of that negotiation and they were like, he's such a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
He saw that the team was hurting and he was like, great, I'll sign for less, which is, you're right, is not true. Like, he signed for the amount he wanted. He just
wanted it was just never about the money. I think they always had the money kind of worked out.
He wanted to play. So he looked at that and he's like, great, Muzzin's out, I get to play. And everybody's like, he wanted to help. He wanted to come back to the team because he saw they were struggling and he wanted to be the help that the team got. And you're like, even when I saw that, I was like, that does, like, I think
he wanted to play.
He just wants the fucking ice time, which is fine.
Of course he wants the ice time.
I get it, but that's what this is about. It's not like him being like, well, the right thing would be to go help them out. No. He was like, great.
Yeah, if a bunch of forwards got injured, he wouldn't have signed.
No. Exactly. He didn't give a fuck. He was like, great, I get to play more.
Which also, like, he's right. He's 21. He should be playing.
I totally agree.
So part of this is I think that he is had he some 21? Sort of.
That's I think for some reason he might be 22. In my head, he's like 23, 24, but you're probably right.
Some sort of agreement with the team on pause. Oh, he's 23. There you go. But he just actually turned 23 2 days ago, so he was 22. Yeah,
I was right.
I was right.
So was I. That's wild.
But he, I think he had some sort of guarantee from the team that if he wasn't going to be in their plans or given a move opportunity to move up the lineup, that they'd give him a trade. And I think I kind of expected in the summer. If they weren't going to give him the opportunity, and instead they gave it to him now because they had to cut salary anyway. I think is the thought process. I think they were like, well, we're going to move this guy in the summer. So we should do it now. Cause we need to move someone out now.
That's fair.
And
that's
I think part of the deal when he signed the contract was like, look, if I'm not going to play, you need to move me. And Dubas has done that kind of situation with guys before. Where they've had kind of an agreement. I mean, like they just this year with Wayne Simmons, remember they tried to trade him to every single team in the NHL.
Right, right.
And they even put him on waivers.
Who's the Russian kid that they traded? Because they traded.
Oh, he wanted to leave? I can't
remember. Well, he wasn't getting ice time. It was like Ozhiganov.
Ozhiganov, that's right. Yeah,
Ozhiganov. Yeah. He wasn't getting any ice time. Yeah, and
so they don't move on. Marchenko,
yes. Like, I think there's a couple guys where they're like, look, I guess it's not going to work out.
Yeah, which is fine. But, I mean, Rasmus Sandin, I think basically this is like Keefe and Dubas saying, like, we don't think he's a top four defenseman. And I think they're wrong.
Well... I mean,
it's their decision to make, but I think they made a bad one.
Do you think they made a bad one?
I think they made a mistake.
Look, I don't think you're wrong.
Yeah.
I think, and I know some people, like I went to a bar with a buddy after they made the Lafferty trade.
Yeah.
And McCabe trade, or maybe it was... Maybe it was the day after they made the trade with Sandin, and he's like, "I'm excited to see Gustafsson."
Mm.
Is the point I'm trying to get to? And I was like, I don't know, man. I don't see the draw there.
Yeah,
like he because his perspective was, I get Sandin was great, but I can take Gustafsson for this playoff run and be happy.
I think that's what they're doing. And Gustafsson has been pretty good this year on Washington.
Points-wise.
Who had a bunch of injuries on their defense, and he's been pretty good. And I think the idea is, like, if the Leafs need a guy to come in and play defense in the playoffs and not fuck up, he'll be fine. Yeah. If they decide they need a little bit more offense from their defense, he can come in and do that. Mm-hmm. If they decide that their power play is kind of fucking up, he's a very good power play defenseman, so he might be good there. And he's just kind of a fun option. And then also you get the first for Sandin.
Yeah. No. The first you'll take all day long.
My only thing is during games where Rasmus Sandin, I looked this up specifically after he got traded because I was really annoyed. And I was pissed that they thought he wasn't a top four defenseman. So in all the games that Rasmus Sandin has played 20 minutes or more for the Toronto Maple Leafs, that's 19 games. How many do you think they won?
Where he's played 20 or more minutes.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny. Whenever somebody pulls out, and I'm not trying to be a dick here, but whenever somebody pulls out one of those stats and they're like, you know, you're going to like throw a low ball because I'm going to say 19 games, you said?
19 games.
I'm going to say 17.
Yep, that's right. They won 17.
That was a total guess. Good for me.
17, and one of the losses was an overtime.
Yeah.
So, like, if he's not a top four defenseman, it's just because you're not using him as a top four defenseman. It's not because he can't be. And
no,
Washington's
that's fair.
Using him as a top four defenseman, well, and he has 5 points in two games.
Yeah, yeah. So, and I'm not trying to be this guy, because I watched one of the highlights of him. It was a power play goal by Ovechkin, and literally all he did was pass.
Oh, that's
it.
A free one. Yeah.
It's a freebie. But no. But my point was the fact that he's actually on the first power play with Ovechkin.
Yeah.
I mean, it tells you a lot. I mean, the people in Washington aren't stupid.
No, that's not a dumb team. It's not like we traded them to the Coyotes.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was thinking too.
Vancouver. It's funny.
Yeah, that's actually, well, fuck. That's such a good point. But like, it's funny because when you said Arizona, I was like, that's the only stupid team. And then you said Vancouver. And in my head, I'm like, oh, fuck. There's two. There might be a couple more, but we're not going to get into that.
Vancouver bought at this trade deadline.
You know who's, I mean, I'm shocked by, and I shouldn't be, is fucking Columbus.
Columbus, yeah.
I shouldn't be shocked, but when they got Goudreau, I don't know.
I think we talked about this one. I said they were going to suck.
Yeah, I guess.
I was shocked.
I was shocked.
I thought they were still really bad. Anyway, this isn't about Columbus.
No, you're right.
It's about my sweet boy Rasmus Sandin, who's gone.
Yes.
And we have Gustafsson for the rest of this year, which is okay. I don't mind that. That's all right.
I don't hate it.
And we have a first-round pick. Now, it's important to note that the first-round pick is not Washington's first-round
pick. It's Boston's.
It's Boston's, yeah. Which, not to be negative, but it's looking like that might be pick 32 after they win the cup.
It's going to be high.
It's going to be at best like 26. Which,
obviously, Washington was like, we're doing that on purpose because we know we're not doing great. And I mean, if you're the Leafs, you're just like, I'll just take the quote unquote first round pick because it looks better.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because when you're going through all the trades on your phone, you see first round pick.
Yeah.
You don't see pick number 32. You see first round pick, and that's enough where it's a bit. And
it is better than a second, but like it's not. If we got Washington second, let's just say we had Washington second, that's going to be pick like 42. Yeah. Like it's going to be like 10 pick. It's going to be like a 10 pick difference.
No, you're
like,
right. That's such a good point.
It's not, if it's you not got, crazy, but it helps.
No,
a bit.
No.
Anyway, so, I miss my boy already.
I'm sorry, buddy. I'm sorry for your loss. I don't know about you, but I am so excited for the playoffs.
I am too.
I have such a fucking hard on for these playoffs to come quicker because I just I'm so excited and now that we've loaded up and I'm sure O'Reilly's going to be back, right? Have we talked about that? It's going to be
he's
March.
Out for 1 month, which is he'll be back with like
end of
three
March.
Games left.
Yeah. Okay. Early yeah. April.
Yeah. He should be back to play like two or three games before the playoffs. Anyway, we do have another trade to talk about before we
sorry,
get too
yes.
excited. What I was going to say, though, which you just kind of brought up, I was going to bring this up at the beginning when we were talking about how many podcasts we'd missed, but of course you had an amazing Austin Matthews story, is that like we accidentally skipped the super boring part of the season, which like I obviously would have preferred to do podcasts during that time, but
what?
Also like by far the most boring part of the season is the part between like after the beginning and then the trade deadline. And also, we've been locked into playing Tampa Bay literally the entire season since the season started. And so, like, it's just not – there's been nothing that exciting happening.
No. I have watched basically every Leafs games that has gone on since our last podcast.
Yes.
But – I wouldn't say, I mean, there were obviously some bad losses and probably a couple of great wins too.
Yep.
But I don't think we missed too much in the sense where the season changed drastically.
No.
But now that we have O'Reilly and he's injured and we've gotten a bunch of new players and we're in, like, it really felt, this trade deadline really felt like, obviously, not the actual day, but the couple days before and maybe the week and a half before, felt like a whole new shift on the team.
Yeah.
Like we really did do a fucking, in those Rubik's Cube when you flip the sides over and all the, like it felt a little bit like it was just one cube for a while. And all of a sudden those past couple weeks, they just fuck and you're like, holy shit, we have a whole new combination.
Everything's different.
Ken is back. Jake McCabe, Noel Achari, Sam Lafferty. Ryan O'Reilly, like, there's, we, dude, we have a line new of players.
Yeah.
Like,
and a defense, and defense pairing. Yeah.
No, no, that's what I mean. Like, five plus
five forwards. Gustafson. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, we have a whole new full five man roster on, like,
I mean, shit, if you put Luke Shen in net, we got it all.
Take the whole team down. But it's, so it's been one of the craziest trade deadlines. And, yeah, I'm just excited. It's really given me some excitement to watch every game now. Because I was watching every game. I was just, you know.
They didn't matter.
Well, my girlfriend's like, it's a Tuesday night in fucking January.
Yeah.
It's minus 30 outside. And we're watching the Leafs play the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Yeah.
And she's like, really? And I'm like, yeah, I know. But I just, I want to watch it. But now, I mean, she's excited. She's seeing Matthews.
It's an exciting time now.
She's seeing Matthews on the street. I'm watching Ryan O'Reilly play. He breaks his finger. It's, I mean, things are going down.
Yeah, stuff's happening. And so, you want to see how all the new guys look. All right, we got to talk about this last trade, though. One big one left. Well, I guess it's two trades, technically, but like it feels like one. The Leafs trade Pierre Engvall to the New York Islanders for a third-round pick, and then trade a third-round pick to Vancouver for Luke Shen.
Right, okay.
So, like, it's two trades, but, like, they did them in, like, an hour, and it felt like one thing.
Yeah, it's basically Engvall for Shen.
Yeah, pretty much. Which, again, is a cap dump. They're trying to, they got Sam Lafferty in, someone had to go out. They decided Pierre Engvall was the guy who had to go out, and they thought they'd, you know, turn some of those savings into Luke Shen for a reason that I don't understand, but whatever. I guess we'll miss Engvall. Engvall really annoyed me as a hockey player, but like I did think he was good.
No, there was
some, but like he annoyed the shit out of me. So I don't know.
There were some frustrating times with him.
He's so fast, and he's 6'5", and he has a great shot. He should be way better than he is.
You know what's funny is, and I've done this a couple times, but in NHL 23, he was great.
Of course he is,
because he's big. You can't, it's hard to move him off the puck in the game.
Yep.
And if you get him in the right spot, his shot's deadly.
And
he's fast, which is all real life. It's just in the video game, you can make it work.
you can make him skate harder.
Like, well, you can make him score. Like it just seems
try
just,
harder.
Yeah. But in real life, it felt so hard. Like it felt like he was treading water all the time.
He had some games and some shifts where he was awesome. And then like a lot of the other times it looked like he was just like getting his cardio in.
It was this year. And I was somewhere. It wasn't at home. I saw it. It was when my last time I went to Lulu Lounge, but my girlfriend's sister and her fiance were in town and we were watching a game and Engvall went end to end.
Yeah.
I forget who they were playing.
It's a thing he can do.
He fucking buried it.
He can do that.
So you're like, where is this all the time? But you know,
he doesn't do it very often.
So is he playing games in New York?
Yeah,
right now?
Yeah,
he is. Yeah,
he's in there.
He's in there. Okay.
He's Engvalling, you know, all over the place.
I'd be shocked. Okay. I was wondering. After the trade deadline, I was meaning to check in on all. I've checked in on Sandin. I know he's killing it. I've not checked in on Engvall.
No, he's playing.
Okay.
I guess we should talk about Luke Shen, the return of the king.
Wild,
rebirth of our Lord and Savior. After three long nights, they rolled back the rock and he walked out of the tomb alive again.
Turns out he was still alive the whole time.
He still has the little stigmatas on his palms.
Yeah.
Luke Shen, our former Lord and Savior, the fifth overall pick in the 2008 draft, who came to the Toronto Maple Leafs as a rookie and was absolutely amazing and was the talk of Leafs Nation. And then it turned out he was ass.
But now he's not. Now he's...
We figured out how to listen. The best trade Brian Burke ever made was probably Luke Shen for James Van Riemsdyk. That trade is still unbelievable, and I can't believe that it happened.
I thought that was a really good trade.
Incredible trade. But Luke Shen turned out it wasn't very good. and bounced around, like played on about 17. I'm not actually going to look up how many teams he played for because it's.
Can I do it?
Yeah.
Okay. Toronto Maple Leafs.
Thanks.
fuck you. Philly.
Yep.
Tampa.
Yeah.
Vancouver.
Yeah.
You're
not going to get these.
We're just doing NHL.
I'm just going to tell you right now that you won't get these.
So we
should probably just move on because there's
Nashville.
No. Right, no, he did not play for Nashville. I was like, there's no chance. He played for Los Angeles. Have no memory of that happening. He played for Arizona. I do remember him playing it for Arizona. No. He also played for Anaheim for 8 games. Don't remember that.
Eight games.
Yeah. He was a Duck.
No.
And yeah. But anyway, he finally like found his footing as the seventh defenseman on Vancouver, where he went and played won two for cups. The
Ducks?
Apparently.
What?
I mean, I'm just reading this off a stat sheet, but like if it didn't actually happen and they just made that up, there would be no way we would be able to tell.
That's wild. Okay. No. Very exciting though.
7th D on the Lightning, and then played first pair with Quinn Hughes for this season in Vancouver.
Yeah.
And then now found his way home to the promised land, back to Toronto.
Where he belongs.
Very cool seeing him in a Leafs jersey again. I will say that.
I like that he got his number back.
I like that they called that, who was it who called him the human eraser? He used to play, when he played in Toronto the first time, they used to call him the human eraser because he used to like just smoke dudes on the boards. And I can't remember who it was. It might have been Ryan O'Reilly. But they asked someone about the fact that the Leafs had traded for Luke Shen, and he was like, oh, cool, it's going to be great to have the human eraser back.
Oh,
and
I was yes.
I like that the guys call him that. That's amusing.
Okay, you might be right, yeah.
I like that he just had a child. Just in that dad energy.
Right, because that's why he wasn't in the game the other day.
That's right. He stayed in Vancouver after that Vancouver game. Because his wife was having a kid.
He's going to have in dad's. Vancouver. He's going to have dad strength.
Can you imagine dad strength on top of human eraser strength?
That's a lot of strength.
That's a lot of power.
That's too much power.
I know. The only thing that can stop him is his inability to play hockey well.
That's true. It's just being dog shit.
This is the one thing holding him back is that he's not very good.
Yeah. I mean, everybody's really excited about it, and I think it'll help.
But I just hope they don't play him too much. But if he's just kind of around and he plays sometimes, I'm fine with it. If he plays, like, if they actually, like...
Put a lot of, yeah. You know.
If they, like, think he's the new Labushkin and, like, start playing him every game, I'm going to be pretty annoyed.
Yeah.
Because, like, Timothy Liljegren is a lot better than him. And, like, to be honest, Justin Hall is better than him. So, like... I think Connor Timmins might be better than him.
You know what? And can we talk about him real quick? I know you got to go soon, but yes. Can we talk about Connor Timmins real quick? What Please. Do you think? Like, I liked him.
I liked him a lot.
There were a lot of games where I watched where he made a few biffs.
But I like Rasmus Sandin, so what do I know?
Yeah, well, there you go. That tells you everything I need to know. But I don't know. They signed him to a deal. I'm surprised I get it, especially now, like the D is so deep that we can't accommodate.
So I think the idea is that he, when they picked him up, he hadn't played very much. He'd been injured for like 3 years in a row. I know we talked about this. We didn't talk about it on a podcast, obviously, since we haven't had one since he came to the team, but, you and I have talked about this. He was injured for like 3 years in a row. Yeah, he had really bad concussion, and then he had he came back and like played like a week and then blew out his knee and then missed another year. So he was out for like, I think it was like 3 years, between being a really high second round pick for Colorado and like coming in as a rookie and looking really good. And then he just didn't play for like a whole bunch of time. And then Arizona tried to trade him. As they were going to either trade him or put him on waivers, and the Leafs took him. And basically, when the Leafs took him, the plan wasn't to put him in the lineup right away. The plan was, let's get this guy in because we think we can make him into a good player.
Right.
But if you remember when the Leafs traded for him, all of our defense was injured. This was when Muzzin, Brody, Riley, was there someone else? Everybody was injured. Jordy Ben was even injured. Remember we had Ben and Mete playing and we were like, oh shit, both of our subs are playing, and then they both got injured. And we were like, oh fuck.
Yes, yes, yes.
And we were playing like Mac Hollowell. So basically what happened is that
he drew into a few games.
And then he had to go right into the lineup, which I don't think was ever the plan. I think the plan was that he'd be a good Leaf next year.
Next year. Okay.
And then they kind of got forced into doing it early. And then now they're like, okay, now we don't have to because whatever.
So is he playing with the Marlies right now? Or is he
he's on the Leafs. He's just press boxed.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. The Luke Shen thing, I'm fine with it as long as they don't get too ridiculous. And it just like it stays like a fun thing.
Instead
of us like losing our minds being like, why the fuck is Luke Shen playing? It's game seven. Just don't make me do that.
Yes. Well, I mean, if you look at, because he won a cup with Tampa, I do know that. I might not know him.
But he didn't play very much.
I might not know. Well, exactly what I was getting to. I might not know all the teams they fucking, all the teams they he's played for. But I know that when he won a cup in Tampa, he was their sixth pair defenseman.
Yeah, he was their seventh guy. So he,
seventh guy,
would rotate in and out with Zach Bogosian.
There you go. So
that's where he should be.
Learn from Tampa.
Exactly.
And do that. And don't put him first line with Morgan Riley or whatever.
Yeah. Please just don't do that. And if they don't do that, I'll enjoy this.
Yeah.
I'm going to really enjoy it. Because like when he plays, it's going to be hilarious. And he's going to hit people. And he's going to be Luke Shen. And it's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah. And also Luke Shen, like famously a really great dude.
Is he? I mean,
he
I
is. Yeah. How would I know Everybody that? Who's ever played with him loves him. Like, he was very popular in the city. The last time he was here, he used to give a lot of tickets to, like, veterans and kids. And just seems like a cool guy. So, I don't know. I'm happy for him. He seems happy to be back, too. So,
no, he seems happy to be back. And who wouldn't? I mean, it's the place that drafted you. Yeah, they might have crucified you, but
he didn't even get crucified, though. That's the thing. He wasn't here long enough for us to start hating him, because he almost immediately got traded for James Van Riemsdyk. It would have happened.
Okay.
But we traded him before it happened.
I think there was some hate.
There was a little bit, but not a ton, because they got rid of him before everyone noticed he was bad. That's how they got James Van Riemsdyk.
Right, right.
They moved him on before. I'm sure he got a lot of hate in Philadelphia.
I love that Van Riemsdyk trade.
It's incredible.
Like, with Van Riemsdyk was such a great Leaf.
And I just want to leave one thing here before we'll just do the lineup and then I got to go. But one final little roster thing is the Leafs, when they're perfectly healthy, which they're not right now because O'Reilly and whatever, but when they're perfectly healthy, they're exactly $850,000 underneath the cap, which says to me that's Matthew Nye's entry level contract.
Right.
So that's still happening, I think.
800. Okay.
Because that's about what that would be. It feels like too specific a number for it not to be exactly what they're
doing. I think you're right. I just, I mean, I'm excited for the playoffs to start. I can't wait for, I mean, do you remember that anxiety and that feeling you used to get when the game was about to start with the playoffs last year? Like, it's so in my head that like I can't wait for it to come back. And
I watched a playoff game on my phone while waiting in a hospital to get my shoulder reset.
Oh, right.
Because I was like, well, the Leaf game's on right now. I'd love to watch it.
I mean, I was in Vancouver for game seven and the time change was not favorable. So, you know, there were like dinner plans with her family and everything. And I was like, I need like 3 hours. I need a chunk of three.
To be
hours.
Honest, I need about 10 because I'm going to cry after.
Whether they win or lose. I will be in no mood to go out after. But yeah, man.
So
exciting times.
Let's just look at this lineup here real quick, and then because I got to go, but I just want to read out these names.
Yes.
Tell me what you think, because this is how they've been. This is the lineup they've been using when they were most recently healthy.
Yes.
Bunting Matthews Nylander.
Love it. Bunting is a bit of a lunatic. He's a complete psycho.
Did you see he did the Binnington the other day? Fake bunch?
Oh, yes. Yes, I did. Yes. I did see that. It was because, it was on the broadcast. It was against New Jersey.
Yes. Absolutely hilarious.
No, hysterical. That's funny that you point that out because I remember that too. Go ahead.
John Tavares, Ryan O'Reilly, Mitch Marner.
I mean, honestly, that Buffalo game was magic.
It was.
It makes me think they can do it again.
I believe.
I don't mind Tavares on the wing, and Marner is a killer.
It's also the passion line.
Yeah. No, that's
three Ontario boys.
Three Ontario boys.
You can hear Don Cherry's erection from here.
I've got one.
Kerfoot, Camp. Is it Kerfoot, Camp, Yarncroc, or is it Yarncroc, Camp, Lafferty? I feel like they've done a couple, but I think
Camp is on the fourth line. I think it's Kerfoot, Lafferty, Yarncroc.
Yeah, they've been all over the map with these, which honestly, fair enough. Just fucking mix and match them.
Well, now is the time to figure it out, so might as well do it now.
And then Aston Reese, Achari, Lafferty.
I mean, that is a fantastic line.
Great players.
Just fantastic.
And then we have our spares. I actually like our spares. Matthew Nyes, potentially.
Well, I was going to say, that doesn't count yet.
Holmberg. Holmberg, who I love.
And because they played, Holmberg and Steves played the other night.
Alex Steves. Bobby Too Much McMahon.
Right.
The Wayne Train.
Do you think he's ever going to see him? I was going to say, I don't. Do you think he'll play? I don't think
possible. Someone needs a good punching. It's a good asset. We are playing Tampa.
Not a bad idea.
Riley, Brody, McCabe, Liljegren, Giordano Hall, Shen, Timmins, Gustafson, Ben. That's like 10 defensemen.
So Ben is back, right? He's healthy?
Yes, he is. Yes.
Okay.
That's like 10
defensemen. Not that we need him.
No, but he's our 10th defenseman.
I was just wondering about that. Okay, yeah.
We need 4 injuries for him to play.
Well, but that's everybody talked about it. That's the move here.
Yeah.
Is get as much D as you can get.
Not the first time you said that, I'm sure.
Not the first time I've ever said that. I say that all the time, especially in this house.
Samsonov, Murray, Wall, and Shalgren. A lot of goalies.
A lot of goalies. I've liked Wall.
I liked him too, yeah. I thought he was pretty good. I'm interested to see how Samsonov Murray goes in the playoffs.
Samsonov's the starter.
I mean, no doubt. Like, it can't even, not even debatable at this point.
Yes.
But we'll all feel a lot better about ourselves if Matt Murray comes in and looks good.
I agree.
Because, like, even with the Samsonov thing, you are kind of looking at it and being like, this could fall apart at any second.
Well, yes, because it's not as sturdy as you would want it to be.
No.
There's definitely some off nights.
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, that's it. I'm happy.
All right. Well,
What a team. It's good to do a podcast.
First of many. You know, everything's going well.
First of many more. I do have to go, though. So,
yes. It's
been great doing this. We'll do it soon.
Touch my penis.
See you later, buddy.